quiz. Yay!
Hey, how's it going, my friends?
Hi.
How are you?
Seen better days. You guys look good.
Wow.
I'm trying to get it like on the top of my head.
Nice.
Yeah, John's taking care of style today. I've just been too depressed to shave, so I'm just gonna peel this fucking beard off my face.
Oh, okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah, Will's been internet. Will's internet pilled, which is perfect for today.
Yep. All right. Well, let's talk about stuff I don't know a lot about, but I'm excited.
I was surprised to get reached out because I have a lot of opinions on stuff. I was trying to like figure out a path to. Here, are we started? All right, when do we want to start?
We're always started.
By the way, is this like a Patreon episode or a public episode? I should know before going into it.
Well, what? Public? So tell us, what would be different if this were a Patreon episode?
I don't know. I might say some things I shouldn't say, but...
I can beep it.
Yeah, we love to beep it. Say whatever you want, and we'll truly send it to you first before we post it.
So okay, no, that should be good. Yeah. Okay, we'll do that.
If you preface things with just beep this, I'll... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this is why we want our friend Louise here to talk about the internet.
That's right.
To talk about X, the world of X.
That's right. Welcome back, Louise. Our listeners know and love you from past episodes. Last time we were here, we talked idiot auteurs.
And I realized after that maybe I was like wrong the whole time with that idea. Maybe they're just auteurs. Maybe bad movies are good, actually. I don't know. I've had more brain damage since then.
Who's to say what's bad and what's good?
Except us.
We'll tell you what's bad and good. Maxine, bad.
I loved it.
There we go. I was waiting for someone to... Yes. There we go.
Yeah, we just recorded an episode about Maxine and the Beast right before this, so we're fired up.
Oh, and the Beast is terrible, right?
Horrible movie.
Yeah, worse than the other.
Maybe make it a little more linear, you fucking frog. Like,
oh god, I loved both those movies so much. Just totally weird aside, but we saw the Beast while we were in production on Riding Shotgun because they had like one screening of it. So we wrapped production at like 7:30 in the morning. I had to like fire people because like it was like one of those situations on site where we're like, someone's gonna get killed if we keep doing stunts and shit like this. Like, this is not good. I mean, like, I was on top of things, but you know, night shoots are tough. So we had this crazy day. Then me, Aoife, and Alice Maya McKay, who is my assistant on the movie, like went straight from there to do a double bill of Challengers and the Beast. Like, no sleep. Like, we had been up for like 48 hours. It was the best. Like,
oh, great.
Yeah, it was so good. Which, yeah. I slept through a lot of Challengers. I think it was good. But the Beast was like kicked my ass. It's like one of the best movies I've seen in forever. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, I literally cannot get Leah's scream out of my mind. It's like
so beautiful.
Yeah, horrifyingly beautiful movie. Well, we don't need to go back into that. If you want to pay for our Patreon, you can hear all our thoughts. Did we love Maxine? It sounds like it. We hate the Beast, you bet. but let's take Maxine as a jumping off point. The internet right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay. So I think that there's something really interesting going on. I remember we kind of got talking, just the odd text here and there about whatever was like the discourse of the day sort of thing going on film Twitter, which like there's kind of two zones around that. There's like the Twitter main character effect. Like, I don't know if you guys saw what was going on with like Brennan, like a Miami Vice post this week about like, oh, I showed my girlfriend Miami Vice, and then that's like all anyone's talking about for like a couple of days on there, as if that's like some insane thing.
You better believe we got involved in that stupid thing with people being like, they were like, Music Box, show the Miami Vice, and they're like, well, these idiots did 2 months ago.
Yeah, no, you guys just screened it. I was like laughing about it. I was like, why is everyone obsessed with this? And then everyone's screening it. And like, I don't know. I you know, it's a movie. It's fine. It's Michael Mann. But like, I just like the level of discourse around like that film was just like insane, because it was just like people just like jumping on it to try to have like the next crazy opinion. And it's like, that's kind of like the whole film Twitter idea, where like every opinion has to get kind of supercharged more and more with each like person down the chain. So you end up with some like pretty insane takes and like some pretty crazy pile-ons. I don't know how you guys want to like structure this episode. I was not really thinking about it coming in terms of like, do we have
structure?
Yeah, because
so far it's exactly the structure we want, so we're off to a great start.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, a lot of time you're going like, huh, interesting. That's good. I think it's interesting too, because like you end up with, because like criticism is like so difficult, all the like sort of journals and magazines and stuff have been folding or consolidating or being run by total retards over the last like couple of years. You end up with like Twitter being like basically this like twofold thing of like the number one place for people promoting their work, and also this number one place for people trying to break out with their work. So that kind of like incentivizes these increasingly insane takes and people trying to be really extreme. Like, I don't know what you guys had to say about Maxine as like a recent example, but like, I thought that movie was good. I'm a big Ty West fan. I love Ty. I love Mia. They're great people. But I like seeing the sort of vitriol at that movie, where it was like every time I like first person I saw was like, it wasn't that great. And then like by a few days later, it's like, oh my God, like we should kill Ty West in the streets or something like that. And it's like, oh God damn, guys. Like,
you let down all of our memes. I do think, and we were talking about it, it's regardless of how you feel about the movie, it did feel like it was trying to capitalize on all the internet success of showing the image of Mia Goth being like, I'm Maxine fucking Minx. And it felt like a movie that maybe the Twitterverse didn't get exactly the way they wanted. Because the pile-on this movie has received is only that of a hive mind kind of thinking. Like, it's everyone who's liked a bad movie in their life, who've defended it to the hilt, who then now take this as their moment to be like, I know a bad movie. This is bad. This is no good, because I see everyone else saying that. So that validates me to be like, this is a disaster. Like, this is one of the worst movies ever made, which is obviously stupid. But
yeah, because when we started talking about it, we even said, we're like, look, we're going to talk about that we don't like this movie, but it's insane to suggest any of that shit is true that's going on Twitter. Like, if you know, it's not even one of the worst movies I've seen this year. though I don't like it, like, it's absurd.
I think one of the other big aspects of it is, and I don't know how true this still holds, but it's definitely like part of my relationship with like basically the reason why I try to stay out of any sort of like online discourse is I find that because of like identitarian politics online and this idea of like, oh, the art that I endorse is a reflection on my own morals, that movies that are a little bit more prickly like Maxine can have like a much more vehement response in terms of like the negative, because people want to like in a way distance themselves. Like, I do not condone this. And I think that the thing is like when you look at Pearl, for example, it has like this huge like girl power sort of like theme, and I think that like a lot of the fans of that series really gravitated towards that movie specifically. And then like I see a lot of people who are like, oh, but like fuck X, fuck Maxine, like these are like misogynistic and the people who made them are misogynistic or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like I see this like level to which like, oh, that's I'm taking a moral stance against these ones. Like, oh, if anything's good, it's in spite of these guys who made it or something like that. And I think that's kind of fascinating.
It is fascinating, because there's the two poles for that. There's us in the middle who have, I like this movie, I don't like this movie. That's a middle. Then there's this what you were just talking about all the way to the other side. That's like, is Brat Girl Summer officially here? And it's like, boy, I hope you're getting paid for all this work that you all are doing to make these headlines, because my God, something about your soul must be like leaving your nostrils every time you do this.
I had a realization that, does this just make us all like too old to be like yelling about the internet?
I
Like,
don't.
Well, is there
I'm
validity
fine
to
with
this
it. Like,
conversation even? Like,
I think so, because
don't
we're all, we came from a world of the internet.
know. Yeah.
We're not the old men being like, what's up with all this rap music? You know, we're being like, we've been here. Twitter used to be a thing. Like, Twitter to me has always felt like a party that ended a long time ago. And there are people that are still on there having fun, doing bumps. But then there's everybody who came so late and is just meandering around the party, trying to make the same jokes that the people who left the party already made. You know, it's like,
Yes. And you know what I just realized is I think that when we were younger, at least like my experience on the internet, like earlier in terms of like the film forums I populated, like, because I, long before social media, I was on like message boards, forums, and like then like a lot of 4chan film discourse, which was fun. But like a lot of those things are like much more anonymous. They're more devoted to talking about one thing if you're on a forum, specifically for movies. And also, like the way that you're gonna get rewarded outside of like a normal conversation is if you're like especially clever or funny. Whereas like with Twitter, it really feeds into like trying to come with like the worst takes in a lot of ways. Because like, if you were like especially annoying on like a message board, like the moderator is just gonna ban you so that you can't like keep sharing like a bunch of bullshit. Whereas like saying like Twitter, you can keep throwing spaghetti at the wall until you find the bad take that sticks. I mean, like when I did my crowdfunding campaign for castration movie last year, I was like, one day I was like, oh, if I could like come up with like a perfect viral tweet just so I could like try to promote my fucking stupid crowdfunding campaign. So I made I like tailor-made this tweet about how like anyone who thinks that trigger warnings should be at the start of a movie are like completely brain dead. And like, I have this, like, it's like this perfectly constructed tweet. Within like an hour, it had like blown up way outside of any orbit I had. And I was like, oh shit, like, I'm just like, this is bad. I'm deleting this. Cause, but like, it proved the point where I was like, if you want to come up with a bad take, you can like launch it way out there. So I don't know. I just the incentivization of like, oh, you have to be like as like kind of as much of an idiot as possible. And you have to kind of like actively hate movies in order to like engage with film Twitter.
There we go.
I really think that is spot on, because there's like there is a certain like jealous hatred toward movies that I kind of see on, like, all right, so we talked about the reason we wanted to do this is because we had messaged you and you were the only people to support our tweets about not dunking on the latest Robert Zemeckis movie. And this is such a great example, not even from a movie that's out, but a movie that no one has fucking seen yet.
Yeah,
And it,
it's crazy. Oh, well, and we see that more and more. Like, I mean, right now it's going on with the Gladiator 2 trailer where people are losing their minds because they have like a Jay-Z song in the trailer and they're like, oh, this movie's gonna be bad because there's a song in the trailer I don't like. And it's just like, what is wrong with people? And also, like, the amount of like after the new Zemeckis trailer came out, the amount of people who were like, oh man, like, I don't support movies made by fascists. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's a new one.
Oh yeah, no, that was all over my network, but maybe that's just because I follow lots of transsexuals who are insane. But like trans film Twitter is a whole other side of it, because you have the people who are like way extra in terms of like having to be like the mor morality police, and then you have like the people on the other side who are just like the, as I think my friends Willow, Caitlin, and Mark Gardner wrote in an article yesterday, the edgy dolls or whatever, who
Oh yeah.
do some really great, who have the bad opinions, but those are all the ones who like the beast, so you know that they're the side you want to be on.
True. They're also the ones who like harass electronic musicians. Oh, RIP to someone I used to really admire. Oh, and but that's again, that's this like the beast of Twitter does give breath to this kind of behavior sometimes. And I mean, obviously, I think that's settled down with this one person who we don't need to mention. I hope they get some help. But this, I know who you know I'm talking about. Sip that coffee. So,
I
you
just, you know, I just like, I like being able to be naturally funny on the internet. I think that that's a
know.
wonderful skill to have.
Agreed.
Not everyone's funny as you.
it's true. If everyone's
So
funny,
sometimes you have to stop trying.
yeah.
Absolutely. You have to quit trying to either like make the quippiest thing ever. As we've always said, just go dumber. Always go dumber. Just make it stupid. It
Well, I
doesn't
used to.
matter.
It just makes me sad, and I'm fully out of it, right? Because I never really got into the Twitter world, but I treated Instagram like Twitter when I was still in LA and did too much drugs all the time, and it got really insane really fast just because I love to troll so much. But even then, was still such small potatoes, and that's what blows my mind because I am an old person for sure about this. But that's what blows my mind because even when that would happen, if something went like beyond my normal reach, all that would happen is all my friends would quickly show up at my apartment and like try to get me to go to the hospital again. It would stop. But like, with, I'm just like, if I had been involved in Twitter in that time, I probably would be dead because I would have been so horribly empowered by like just the shittier I got, the more all these new people were like, you're the shit. You know, like I would be huge
Oh,
because
you
of.
would be getting tricked by pussy in bio constantly. Be like, there's no pussy in this bio. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It's just insane. Like I guess I'm grateful I never did that because I'd probably be dead, but it just blows
Well,
my mind.
it's funny because I think I've had my Twitter account for like 15 or 16 years or something. I have a massive gap where like I didn't use it for like 8 or 9 years or 10, you know, however long. Like I only started using it after I transitioned just so I could like game the identity politics system in order to find success in the film industry. So like I mean Twitter is a game that you can play very easily. And I think that that's the thing with like the way people utilize their takes. 'Cause you know, you read some stuff on there, like that whole like Miami Vice debacle this week. It's like you have to be like unwell to start going in on someone about showing their girlfriend Miami Vice. Like you have to have some very
Yes.
serious things wrong. And I didn't, I honestly, I stayed out of that one. I didn't even like really read the initial tweets. So I don't even know. I've only seen like the responses like three times removed from the initial tweets.
Oh,
But like, yeah, no,
I
I'm just
mean,
staying out of that one. Like,
and to think first off, the person that started this, that you're the first black Guggenheim curator, first off, right here. Okay. Second, this was reduced to the matter of if you're straight or gay, you can like this movie. You know what I mean? It got brought down to like hetero people be showing their girlfriends Miami Vice. And then, of course, any gay person on the internet who, I guess, unwisely chose to engage with that's like, I'm a gay man. I'm as gay as they come. This movie rocks. I don't know what the problem is.
Well, and, you know, it's just so weird because, like, I remember with that movie specifically, or especially out of like Mann's late career work, it was one of those ones that like had a more of a cult reputation for years, where like no one liked that movie, and it was kind of like a cool kids club. If you like, we're in part of that like vulgar auteur group. But this is me doing a gun to my head emoji.
A
But
rough
like.
period we all got through, though.
I that was the worst, honestly the worst, but like
Canada, you're on
that was the camp.
notice. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's all
my
you,
God,
Canada.
it was brutal. Hated it. I was vocally opposed, even though there's like a lot of people involved in that, who like later, I'm sorry, this should be beeped out, some people involved in that beep this the fuck out, who would go on When,
That's right. Yes, you do.
Man. We're at the same film school. The people involved in that were at the same film school as us. So, like, we were all, yeah, no, it was like, yeah, no. We have all sorts of funny stories. There was lots of parties back in the day. Everyone involved in that Vulgar Tour camp was also annoying and stupid back then, too. So, there you go.
I mean, it was like, I remember that whole thing. I mean, it does kind of tie into what we're talking about. It is kind of like an early sign of where we were headed of like, I've discovered something new. And it's new in this instance only. This is not something that can be applied to things that have come before. It specifically talks about something that's new in this world, which is garish art made as B movies.
And is there a different degree of gatekeeping where then it was like kind of this cult gatekeeping of like, oh, you're not like a cool, pretentious enough dude to like this cool dude cinema. And now it's like, oh, if you're a straight guy, you can't like any fucking good movies.
the de-evolution of this is...
It's kind of like a full reversal, right? Like it's spun around. I feel like it's because like all of the best writers all like decide to transition or, you know, do something else, and then all of a sudden you're stuck in a situation where we're the gatekeepers now. It's great. I love it. We're phasing you guys out.
Well, it's a perfect example of literally how culture and anything good in culture works. Like, there are people that see something in its moment when it's fresh. And you think that's cool. Like, that's awesome. You don't have to be loud and proud about it, but you can appreciate it. But then over time, a thing gets sanded down enough, you know, the idea of it just becomes mainstream. And it just has to pass through the lamest people. And I'm not even trying to pass judgment on people, but there are lame ass motherfuckers in the world that turn things into drivelly content, and that's what is weirdly happening with Miami Vice. And I can't even imagine the smell of those motherfuckers at that IFC screening at midnight.
Yikes. Lord. Yeah, although, you know what's kind of funny to think about is my real life film experience is still to this point, I don't know what it's like you guys doing film events in Chicago, but like going out to events here in Vancouver, it still kind of has that same like old school, like anyone who's like willing to leave their house is still that old school, like pretentious, like group of people. Most of them are well dressed enough. They have like a girlfriend. They're going to see like the screening of Blue Velvet at the Cinematheque, and they've got their Letterbox top four up, and their girlfriend has also got their Letterbox top four up. And it's like, you know, a very like normal, well-adjusted people. And I mean, and lots of queer people and whatever. I mean, I've never seen them out in the wild here, but I'm sure they exist other than myself. I can't be the only token minority. But I think the thing with Twitter that's interesting is I made that comment about, oh, are we the new, like, we speaking entirely monolithically as like queer people, the new gatekeepers. And I think that that only applies on film Twitter. And I think it's actually an emergence because we took over Letterboxd very early on. And then those two things converged into what like modern online film culture is. And I think you can kind of apply this across the board to like also Instagram, Letterboxd, and then Twitter. And then TikTok's its own separate thing, which is ran by like brain dead 25-year-olds or whatever.
I can't even look at that.
Yeah, that's like its own thing. That is like space alien garbage to me. But like the thing with the whole like Twitter Letterboxd dichotomy is like we sort of took over those space, like we took over Letterboxd early on because it was like a way to get away from kind of the more film bro-y spaces. But then that website like blew up. So all of a sudden, like all of the like really weird trans people were like the most viewed like reviews on a lot of the sites, like in terms of like serious reviews that weren't just like one-off jokes about, you know, this happened to my buddy Eric or whatever. But like, it's like the top Joker review, if I recall correctly. It's like, you know, it's just like stupid. Reviews. Yeah. But like people who like actually wrote reviews on the site were doing lots of like essay stuff. It was like a lot of people from kind of like my bracket back in like the early 2010s. And so like you end up with like those people kind of migrating into the film Twitter space and ending up kind of setting the tone for that. And like my comparison to like in real life film spaces being so different is I think that like, you know, because of the nature of queer people being more and more like ostracized from like a lot of like the world, you end up getting very hyper defensive of the online space where you can kind of have some degree of freedom. So that makes people act way fucking crazier. And I think that that probably adds to it. And then also points into like the direction I was saying earlier. And I don't know if this is just like the experience being in like the queer film Twitter space, but always like weaponizing it in terms of like, oh, straight guys can't like this movie. Oh, Robert Zemeckis is a fascist. Oh, Sam Levinson's a misogynist. Like, so you can't like Maxine or whatever. Like, you know, it's just like all these like weird things. Which hey, beep this one out, but which is fucking crazy. Really? Beep that shit out. Yeah, beep
well,
that
we
shit
will out. For sure, but holy shit, y'all missed
well so I'm like
right, let me speak to our listeners real quick. If you want to know what Louise said, give us $1,000 each.
Yeah, I could use it to
and
help
then
my movie.
So that's $3,000 total.
No. If if you want to know what was just said, you have to Venmo us $100,000 so we can split it between us right now. $100,000, and then we'll
yeah,
see.
Honestly, probably that's money well spent. You could make or break the industry with this information.
Yeah, no, it's interesting information, but like, yeah. I all I can say is like a lot of people will definitely have like egg on their face who are making these sorts of like comments at some point. But I mean, hopefully that's vague enough. I just want to not incriminate myself with extremely privileged information. But I will say,
listen, we know what you said. We all agree Sean Baker is a fascist who like
oh, hey, I would love to talk about the Sean Baker stuff because I was like one of the only people to go really publicly defending Sean Baker.
That was one of the weirdest. Listen, there have been some weird ones, but that one was like, what are we? What? Well,
I thought you were kidding when you texted me about it. Like, I was like, oh, haha, that's funny. That's a funny
joke. I was like, well, we both like Kyle Rittenhouse. He's a cool guy. He's got, he looks like Bob's Big Boy now. He's just.
I love his tactical training videos where he's like just shuffling like a little piggy.
And every time he goes to like, it's like, dude, you're going to way too many gay pride events to make us maybe think pause. Cause like, he's constantly like, there's a dildo stand here. What if a kid picked up a dildo? What would he do with it? You know? And it's like, but no, Sean Baker, please, let's hear what your thought. Cause I didn't see what you said about Sean Baker.
I pulled up his beautiful Twitter account, which is now private. He's blocked it. No more people can go look at his Twitter, which is a real shame. Mainly to me, because Sean does some of the best work at helping to promote other up and coming filmmakers.
Or so podcasts. So
yeah, but like, no, it's like bullshit. I mean, like I know tons of people who were exposed to like Joanna Arno's fucking incredible movie last year because Sean was retweeting it. And Sean's a big supporter of like that indie space. And I think that that's honestly sort of sad that people bullied him because of like, I don't know, optics into, you know, they've silenced our boy. But like the thing is, for context for anyone listening, people started going through Sean Baker's likes and follows after he won the Palm.
Someone
and
with a lot of nothing to do. They have a busy schedule.
Yeah, although then Elon Musk removed likes, so Sean Baker clearly has some pull in the fucking far-right community that he's clearly so involved in.
He's got the Cybertruck, so he's like, listen, be a solid. Yeah. But well, no, go ahead with what you were saying, because I'm unsure what he did. I know that.
Okay, so
but
he had liked a couple of like, you made a joke about the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. He had liked like a couple of things defending Kyle Rittenhouse, which like, I don't know, like people likes. The thing is, who gives a fuck is what I want to preface this with in the first place, but I'll still walk through the drama. So he liked that stuff. So we were like, oh, this is pretty sus. This is weird. I thought this guy was like a lib. And then they started looking through and they saw that he followed like libs of TikTok, which is like a really crazy, like it posts a lot of anti-trans shit. And then they were like, oh, this is even more suspicious. And like, how can this guy like make movies about marginalized people and then follow libs of TikTok as if these things are like mutually exclusive in some way? Although I did a little additional digging because I'm a psycho and I was like, okay, I need to see what's going on here. So the best thing about Sean Baker, I need to say, I fucking adore Sean. I think his movies are great.
We're all big fans.
He does a lot. Okay. He follows every single like anti-trans right-wing account. Like he does follow all of them. Mm-hmm. Like to an astonishing degree. Like anyone who's like written a like really scathing, like actually notable piece of like anti-trans stuff, Sean Baker does follow them. However, he follows equal, if not more, trans porn accounts. So I think
goonin.
It balances out.
He's gooning.
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, no, I think it. I think I'm. I approve. I think it's fine. I mean, I also follow lots of really terrible anti-trans accounts because sometimes I just wanna feel good about myself.
This is the thing.
I do this shit all the time too. Like I listen to. Anytime I'm driving on a road trip by myself, all I do is listen to the most horrific shit I can find, you know.
Yeah, me and Jan used to listen to Alex Jones's radio show whenever we drove across the
U.S. Absolutely.
Rush
Limbaugh, till the day he went, I always listen to Rush Limbaugh. I like to know what these fucks are up to.
I'm constantly looking at Ben Shapiro videos to make jokes around the apartment and to do his voice. And it's like... You know, what does following something necessarily mean you endorse it?
Well, and even if he does, I don't really care. It doesn't affect his skills as a filmmaker. I mean, maybe conservatives are actually good at making movies and have been wrong this whole time. That would be interesting to know. And also, if he does, like, actually, if he secretly, like, hates trans people but is also really attracted to them, that just makes him way hotter to me.
Like, there we go.
That's all that matters. That's my type of guy, my friends. So there you go.
It's the only way to be. Revolt, attraction, it's all one thing.
It's perfect. He's the perfect man. Really, he's got a pomme d'or and some sort of really weird hang-ups about transsexual women. Like my dream man. Thank you very much.
I mean, yeah. Here's the other thing. Could he be someone that makes films about these people and would like to know what the other side has to say? Like, where is it a temperature check on like where people are at in the country with perceiving trans people? Because like, yeah, I follow accounts for pieces of shit because I find their shit funny. And it just makes me laugh because film Twitter doesn't make me laugh.
This is the thing that I get really hung up on. This is kind of the point I was making, which is that speculation as to whether he's doing it for good or bad reasons is missing the point entirely. First of all, it just doesn't matter what the fuck he likes or who he follows on Twitter. Like these things do not matter because you cannot know what someone's like actual thoughts are unless they actually like express something about it. I mean, like he never commented on it. He clearly doesn't care to like settle it either way. So why should I care? Like, I don't give a flying fuck about it. He's a good filmmaker. He's a cool dude. All intents and purposes, he's super nice and supportive to like every fucking filmmaker I know. So like, why would any of this stuff actually matter? And I don't care what someone's politics are. I mean, like the funny thing was, is like I was looking at like some of these people who were problematic, who he was following, and like there was like 25 other people I deal with in the industry on a regular basis who also follow these fucking people. Like, you know, if you're actually involved in the industry, it's like, yeah, no, like a lot of people are just like, you know, probably have bad politics. Who cares? It's all about money anyways. Like, that's all that matters.
Well, yeah, they live in a community that really isn't probably governed by the internet. It's definitely governed by... their like people they surround themselves with, because they get to, you know, you get to a certain level of celebrity in Hollywood, you do get to choose who you want to be around constantly. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're getting open window of opinion, but like you said, it doesn't matter because what is the what's his art? Like what is he, you know,
if there is some tiny chance that he is following a bunch of anti-trans accounts in order to like research a movie about anti-trans movements, I would totally star in that. I will do anything against my own people. I'm like totally fine to Uncle Tim this and go out, play the bad trans woman who's grooming the kids and doing all the bad stuff. Be a great movie.
That would
be a really
love
good movie.
A sweet movie about grooming, you know.
It'd be so funny. I would totally be in Sean Baker's grooming movie.
Possibly, because we've talked about and I'm sure you're aware of what's going on with this, but like we've talked on a previous episode about our theories surrounding all the like attempts to kind of like undercut, handicap Megalopolis and Francis Ford Coppola in general, because it's like, first off, he's kissing everyone on set during the Bacchanal scene. Okay, I don't know if that's true. All right, now he's indecisive and he's firing people. Okay. All right, let's nail him. He's smoking weed between takes.
Well, if I've learned anything from making movies, it's that people who work on movies are assholes and babies who can't handle what art requires. They're doing stuff solely as like a paycheck and do and will take any sort of merit in order to tear down the people who are doing the art that keeps them employed and all of that. So I think that even beyond like the campaign by the studios, as you guys suggested, to try to like disparage that film, I will say that crew are just like that. I mean, like look at the lawsuit around Maxine that's going on right now. It's like people will like just say whatever shit they can to try to like fuck with artists who are doing interesting work just because they can, because people are desperate and sad and crazy and will say whatever they want to. And that kind of is the same reflection on the film Twitter stuff. Just when you're doing it in the trades, it, I guess, maybe carries some degree more weight, because then it's like, oh, all of my bad Twitter discourse is backed up by something in Variety, which, like, fuck all those magazines. They wouldn't run anything on our movie because we were too small. So, which is insane, because I have more better cast in our movie than
Do
like
something problematic.
tons of stuff. Yeah, no, I'll figure it out.
We can help you with ideas.
I was talking with my me I was talking with our company's agent about whether or not I should detransition, like, because maybe I've peaked as a transsexual, so it's like, okay, the industry doesn't want them anymore, so maybe I should go back to straight white guy, as we were saying. Like maybe it's straight white guy's turns, actually. Like maybe we got to go back and
Gender's fluid, man. You can go wherever we want to go with it, wherever you help the career. I'm telling Will every day, just fucking transition, man. Just like, just
No, it
do
won't help anymore. Like, I mean, you
it.
will, you should transition,
You're
but
right.
like,
But
it's not going to help. It'll make it a
it
lot worse,
won't
probably. Any success you guys are having in Chicago with your guys' film screenings will quickly dissipate. It is way harder doing this as a trans person, if not impossible, which
We
is
missed
why,
that
like, I'm
window.
the only one who's going to have a movie coming out next year. We had a little blip at the first half of this year, because a bunch of indie movies came out, and it'll never happen again. It's over. That was all we get. That was the trans film movement is done.
Hey, if that stops a certain filmmaker's progress, I'm all for it. I will push you all off the cliff.
Absolutely.
You're all
You want to
off.
know the funny thing is, though, is that now I'm a huge fan and love them.
See, this is film Twitter at work here. It's changing minds,
Well,
breaking people down.
I met them IRL and I was like, you rock. I'm a big fan. And this is like no
That
irony. This is like
easy.
complete
It's that
sincerity.
easy.
It's one of those things where once everyone else starts turning on somebody, I will like double down how much I like somebody. So it was like it's the
Oh,
flip. I always have to be
calculated.
on the I always have to be on the opposite side of everything, you
Playing
know?
the game is what it sounds
Yeah, it's because I'm a sociopath. So
like.
like I'll do or say anything to get ahead in the film industry. That's like literally all I do, which bleep this out is why they're so dislikable.
Oh, God. You all wish you had $1 million to give us for these beeps.
It's something I say in speculation almost every show, but now we have it in writing, essentially.
Well,
So.
the
The fun thing about being a trans person in the film industry, or maybe it's just my specific personality as a trans person, because I'm like a little grotesque in terms of how I go and navigate the film industry. Like people will gravitate towards me and be like, oh, you're a sick freak living your fetish 24/7. I'm going to tell you the worst industry gossip I can possibly tell you at this moment. So I'm just a sponge for every like terrible secret that is like anyone is willing to tell me at a festival. So I've got lots of good ones.
We take your sponge like body and we just wring it out on this shit.
If I don't get distribution, like good distribution on my new movie, I'll just take the whole fucking indie film scene down with me. Cause I could like ruin basically every side of it. It's great. Like I could hop on with you guys. We could do a big expose. I'll just talk shit on like every single indie director that I have tea on, and then everyone else can go down with me. It'd be perfect. Like I love like a film suicide pact. It's good.
Well, it'll be Louise's Hollywood Babylon, because you truly have enough that it would warrant being like doing that trollist decision of calling it Hollywood Babylon. You have enough.
So if you're
I've got to publish Hollywood Babylon 3, because I think I can just do that. I think I just put that as the title. It'd be so sick.
This is a game. Listen, if this is a game, you have two pathways to choose in this RPG. You could support Louise and their work. You don't get Hollywood Babylon 3. You don't support their work and you let it burn and crash. You get we're going to take it all down. So choice is yours.
It's honestly pretty good. I mean, there's been a few times, especially like working on Riding Shotgun, which is like a movie I'm very proud of, because it's a movie that like is so singular and feels almost like saying that film Twitter probably will not like, because it's way too unique and interesting and weird. Although maybe because I'm trans, they'll think it's like the bee's knees and the cat's pajamas.
Well, not anymore, unfortunately. But
oh yeah, because I'm detransitioning. Fuck, goddamn it.
Cut it down a little sooner, Louis.
it's been kind of illuminating, because like, you know, I do, having a movie this close to like release, I am paying a lot more attention to like how people are talking about certain movies, trying to figure out where my movie fits in, because like me and Dion obviously want her movie to be like successful and get out into the discourse. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe what we need to do is we should all start like a publicity firm on how to become the Twitter main character for people's indie movies. Because like there's been some surprising ones. Like I couldn't believe the amount of people talking about like those fucking, like, you know, those public domain Winnie the Pooh movies that are so bad, like the slasher ones. Yeah. Like so many people were talking about that stuff online, because it's like, oh my god, this is the most cringe shit ever. But like at the same time, there's plenty of people doing shit like that who have been doing shit like that for years who never like broke through into cultural conversation. So it's like, ooh, if you could like gamify that, you could like really help some really bad filmmakers get their movies out there. I mean, all filmmakers are pretty bad right now anyways. I The Beast was good. Most movies are fucking terrible nowadays. This would just be a regular publicity firm. Like it wouldn't have to focus on bad movies, because as I said, all of them are bad. But like we could probably make some money.
We guarantee nothing in return, but you can pay us. And we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, we'll make you the Twitter main character of the day. We'll talk about how you can't watch fucking Sharknado 6 with your girlfriend, because that's toxic male cinema, and we'll make that go viral for you. It's perfect.
There's too many shows.
I was trying to come up with a movie reference, but I was like going full millennial, where I was like, oh my god, I can't even come up with a fake movie anymore. This is brutal.
What could we do? What could be a good one to start with? What's the first movie that we can say? We gotta pick one that's like just rife. Okay. I'm taking it against every queer out there. You can't like Bridges of Madison County unless you're straight. You truly can't understand the romance of that movie unless you you stick to God's plan, as they say. So
you have, not only do you have to be a straight white man, but you also have to wear sandals to your sexy dinner date.
We should do a screen series called Straight Pride Cinema.
I'd love nothing more.
Taking back the margins, Straight Pride Cinema.
I hate that my
straight to music bus. We've got an idea.
That'll go right after our How to Inspire a School Shooting series that we keep planning.
You gotta get Dion involved in that. That's like her main focus, is she loves the school shooting movies.
I mean, I would love to, yeah, take it back, take straight pride back. And I don't know. I wonder, like, let's play a few. What will Twitter do to this movie in the future game? Juror number two, since we're talking about Clint Eastwood, where do you think juror number two fits in? Because boy, did people have a heyday with their jokes on Cry Macho of like, and I have to blame maybe another podcast out there for now co-opting the idea that they're a movie podcast.
John loves to hold a grudge.
We maybe have had one of them on the show. We wish them good health right now, but I just want to say, make your comments about Nancy Pelosi, do all that. Stay out of this zone. Just stay out of this zone. Showing Eyes Wide Shut, not so cool now. That's like being trans now, essentially.
Yeah, no, it's like it's cooler to be not trans, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm saying is, if you're in New York around August 10th and you maybe had tickets to go to this, maybe there'll be something else happening in a theater that's going to be a 14-hour marathon.
And let's just say,
That's queer. That's defiantly queer.
that's true. It is. It
Yeah.
is. But yeah, there's a who John is talking about is going to be has made it really difficult for us to get as many shows as we did have on the books in New York. So come hang out with us instead of them while we're there from August 7th to 10th. And we can announce the first one on here because we are doing we're teaming up with Liz Purcell for Weird Wednesday at the Draft House Brooklyn to show She Killed in Ecstasy, which will be one of our Francomania stops while we're in New York. So there's gonna be a lot of great shit going, but come to our shit, not theirs.
Yeah, maybe if you want to experience eight Franco movies in a row, some rare ones too, then I would keep an eye out on the internet. But now that we've gotten that plug out of the way, juror number two, is this the next casualty? Is this going to befall the is this going to get the here treatment?
Yeah, what you're gonna end up getting with it is you're gonna have people accusing like fucking Eastwood of being like a fascist conservative. I can already imagine like if the movie's even like anything slightly less than a masterpiece, they'll have like images of him talking to the chair at the RNC being like, oh, he's like Biden making a movie or whatever. I don't know.
I
It's
was
gonna be brutal.
just about to say there are going to be Biden comparisons, all, and I'm already sick of it. I am already sick of it. It's like clearly there's one old man that we should kill. It's Biden. I feel bad for the guy. Just kill him. But Clint, he's like good. I'm also hearing that this might not be his last film, as it's trying to be rumored. Like,
They
well,
just
because
never know when to step down.
they just, yeah. You know what? This is why you don't take the adrenochrome in the children. It seems fun at the beginning, but it just ages you quickly. Clint decided, I'm going to try eating healthy, working out. You know, I think this is a wellness podcast now. And if you want to be like Clint, you know,
Well, if you
tell
want
the
to be in
holiday
the
crap.
80s and still having threesomes, be like Clint. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he never needed the kids.
Well, I mean, like, here's the thing. I've seen so American Sniper definitely got that sort of treatment that was really like rough in terms of accusing it of being overtly conservative and people kind of picking at stuff in the movie that was a little goofy, like the fake baby that they were using and stuff, like kind of like conquering the conversation by not taking it seriously or taking the film at face value.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we just got a repeat of that. Although I'm also kind of curious, like with more of these sort of like the big time maverick iconoclast directors of like the 70s and whatever passing away right now, I wonder if we'll end with like a bit more of like a respectful retrospective vibe on their careers. Like, oh, this is wrapping up everything he's done. Like, I'm curious, like a film, like the same thing would go for the new Coppola film, right? Like there's set, like there's certainly a degree to which like the new Coppola movie could end up being like heavily embraced just because it is the sort of like mic drop final big spectacle piece film, right? Like there might be that degree of respect and like heritage to go around with it.
Unless you have to make jokes about the CGI, which, you know, they're like being like, it looks like a, I don't even know, like a bad iPhone commercial or something like that, which I don't know if that's what they're saying, but I am seeing a lot of things about the CGI in it. And it's like, personally, I think it looks gorgeous. Like, I want to see what this movie looks and feels like. But, you know, what we were saying with Clint, though, it's like, this is the same thing. Yes, the talking to the chair, which honestly ain't that bad now. It's kind of funny now. I
Yeah,
highly recommend everyone rewatch
it's a mood boost now.
video. Yeah, it makes me feel
Oh,
good.
I long for the days when that was all we all the you know.
Because he was what, right about distrusting Obama?
Well, the thing was, he was just he was doing it as a funny bit. Now everyone's so old in politics, you don't know if it's a bit or not. It's
That's
just
true.
like.
That's true. Yeah, he was like Jerry Lewis telethoning it out there, and I'm kind of here for it. But it stopped the appreciation of J. Edgar. I think one of the most thoughtful films that he's made, not only in terms of like, if you think he's conservative and might have weird opinions about gay people, I mean, that's as sweet as they come. His depiction of an absolute monster, though, and where we got in this era with the internet, kind of with J. Edgar, but like. You know, that stopped that movie. That stopped his whole Oscar run. I mean, they tried it with Richard Jewell before that movie came out. So I'm just curious, now that the movie isn't just about him riding around in a car with a rooster, like what are they, what is this movie that has to do with the criminal justice system? How will his perceived politics now get like brought into that?
I mean, I guess it'll depend on. Well, actually, I don't think it even has anything to do with the content of the movie. I think that it even just being about the criminal justice system, people kind of make their minds up about it as like, oh, it t takes a conservative or reactionary or whatever approach. I mean, that this is obviously like the sort of nihilistic way of viewing it. It is possible that, as I said earlier, people might be wanting to embrace it, being like, oh, one of the masters doing, you know, one big last hurrah, potentially.
Oh, I
Thank
hope
God
you're
this
right.
movie got made. Well, I mean, like, here's the thing, like, from like insider side on the industry, like, movies are gonna get really bad over the next couple of years. I mean, like, we're already in like a drought of good movies and like actual cinema, but like, what we're looking forward to is like more consolidation, heavier fucking studio interference. Like, movies are gonna get fucking terrible. So I think that people will hopefully wake up and savor the fact that we're in like the last chance we're going to actually see like auteur cinema at like a decent like studio adjacent level. Like this is it. This is the end for that sort of thing. And then we're going to be back to the, you know, because things are in cycles. We'll be back to that like sort of like late 60s sort of death of a studio system sort of thing. And it'll all be indie films
I
for a
hope.
while.
I hope. I really hope. I hope that life does follow a pattern. I do worry that like these ballooning budgets, like everything has to be a certain amount of money for it to get made. I mean, those are great excuses to always interfere when you're a studio.
Well, yeah, and I mean they do it because they, you know, everything's a scam. That's the other thing I realized, like the further I got up, it's like, oh, it's all scams all the way down. And then you have like people who are trying to make like actual art, which in spite of how I talk, I do actually care about the art of cinema. I'm not just in it for the money, as I might look like I am with the way I approach my career, and so seriously. But like. It is one of those, like, it's really disheartening. Like, I mean, I got word, like, you know, when we were starting to like get stuff together, it was like, you guys missed the boat on that queer cinema stuff. Like, we're contracting, like, we're throwing out, like, you know, like I was kind of describing it as like online as like the industry as like a circus tent, which kept getting bigger during the streaming era because people were producing so much content that they were starting to fill the margins. Where the tent kept getting bigger, so we could let more people in. And we got all of these cool, interesting filmmakers who got to benefit from there being audiences who were now being catered to. So it's like, oh, we need more movies for Black audiences and more movies for queer audiences and more movies for like what whoever the hell they could fit under because they were trying to game every demographic through streaming. Now, because of consolidation, because interest rates are high, and a myriad of other boring fucking corporate bullshit things, that tent is now compressing smaller and smaller and smaller as every month goes by. And after like the pandemic and strikes, everyone is adverse to risk more than they've probably ever been before in this industry. And we're going to see these last couple of films we're getting from the masters are like the last sort of light we're going to get in this extremely dark and bleak future ahead of cinema. And so we should all hopefully rally behind and appreciate them while we can, because maybe if we do that, the people with money and positions of power will hopefully break through that incredible like retardation they have to at least notice that a movie like Megalopolis can maybe be moderately successful and they can make those movies still. But I mean, seeing what happened with like Horizon, like I am not optimistic about these self-produced auteur features getting their time of day with audiences. Like I couldn't believe how bad Horizon did. Like I was honestly shocked by that. And like I love Kevin Costner. I get what his whole vibe is. And like Postman, one of my favorite movies.
Yes.
Fucking yes, adore him. So like movie like that bombing to the point where like they pushed the fact that it did no theatrical numbers to the point where they're gonna hold off on releasing part two until they can build more of an audience for the first part is staggering, because like it is speaking to the fact that like a lot of people just view movies as content, and that feeds into the Twitter content mills of how we discuss them as well as just content to farm attention, and it's very sad.
Absolutely, because, and we can even close on this. Let me get my hat backwards for this.
Well, that's a good. That was an excellent third act monologue.
Well, yeah, done. I have nothing more to add to that except
agreed.
Except that, like, with everything Louise just said being true, sorry, and they're trans, so they see things that no one else sees.
My sixth sense.
they're incredibly right. And so what is the reaction of people to that? This whole episode being about Twitter, as everything in the world, you grow more and more powerless as things grow more and more out of your control. Things grow so oversized. You don't have to take the bait. You don't have to take what is left, which is Twitter, for you to complain, because I do think people love shitting on stuff like here because they see it costs money. They see it's a technological thing. They don't really understand Zemeckis. What a perfect way to shit on something and rob it of any cachet, or hope to rob it of any cachet to someone who might be unsuspecting and could be swayed. Film Twitter does. You're like a lot of online content, you're just serving the behemoth you're trying to push away from. You're just creating content for these things to help studios market, make decisions on their movies. So if you believe anything we're saying, and especially what Louise said, is true, don't take the bait.
Yeah,
and Twitter account.
In terms of actual tangible things you could try to do to help save the film industry, the biggest thing that is fucking us right now is theatrical windows. It's the fact that we are abandoning cinemas and everything is hitting streaming like 2 weeks after the premiere. You know what you should do is in the same sort of like cynical, jokey way people say like, hey, vote, it matters. What you should do is go to the movie theater. But what you should do is go not on opening weekend, so that like we can start establishing like, hey, movies have legs that can last longer. Do this thing called word of mouth in real life, where you can encourage someone to go see a movie that you liked after the opening weekend. And maybe if we can try to expand the theatrical window again and help actually give movies a cultural moment that goes beyond a little Twitter discourse of 2 days around the opening weekend, we might be able to save cinema.
Absolutely, you're 100% correct, because like all the hemming and hawing of all the money Furiosa lost, and oh, it's this big disaster. According to now, it's made its money back. Like, it's actually made it back and made a profit. Sure, it's not the profit that studios are expecting, but it's not a loss. It's not everything you said it was going to be, because exactly what you're talking about. And I think it's just, maybe we just live in a world where people forget that movies do have a longer window. I mean, especially if you're young and the pandemic really rocked your development in the world, Like, you might have forgotten that things do exist longer in these space. I mean,
Well, that's
certain.
how Godzilla happened. That's exactly what happened with the latest Godzilla. It fucking slayed because Toho refused. They were like, hell no, no streaming, no on disc, 6 months. 6 months. And then they even did it where they were like, actually, we're going to let it run in theaters for months. And then we're going to pull it for a month before we then let it hit streaming. Fucking smart. And it worked and it slayed.
Well, I always go back to like a lot of, you could consider one of the best movies of the 90s to be Pulp Fiction. And the reason that a lot of people would consider Pulp Fiction one of the best movies of all time is because Tarantino, having worked at a video store his entire life, after the movie had like a sort of moderate indie success theatrically, he demanded that the movie be windowed out of home video for as long as possible, because the idea was, let's get the word of mouth going, because even though all the big distribute like all the big video stores are going to know to carry this fucking movie, all the mom and pop shops across the US won't know about this movie yet. So we're going to hold off so word of mouth keeps building, where everyone keeps going into the store going, hey, you got Pulp Fiction? Hey, you got Pulp Fiction? Get those orders way fucking up from all the little mom and pop stores, and now suddenly everyone has multiple copies of Pulp Fiction at their video store. Oh, that looks super popular. I'm gonna rent it. I'm gonna see it. And the movie is still a huge cultural touch point to this day. And it's just, you have to game the system like that. And that's what that like the 90s was like the last real period where we got like cinema that had that chance to build. And ever since the streaming era got introduced in the late 2000s, it has just been circling the drain, and we've got to really fight back against it, especially now that streamers are also consolidating and making less content than ever. They're especially not on your side, because you're not going to get anything worth watching on those streaming services. So definitely, definitely go and support real cinema at the cinema. So yeah,
Yeah,
that's
and eventually
my
bandwidth.
plea.
Yeah, and bandwidth is gonna close up at some point. Like, you can read so many tech articles about there can only be so much streaming that exists in this world before things start getting gunked up in the airwaves. So a bit,
Yeah.
that has its half-life too. It was never the solution. It's not the utopian solution you think it's gonna be. It's a perfect way for the studios to kind of yank and pull things and throttle things. It's not helping cinema, and it's not helping like accessibility or a variety. And you mentioned voting. You know what, people, you can't do anything about voting. You so vote or not ain't gonna change things. What you can do, you can go to those weekends. You go to opening weekend. You can go back again to not opening weekend. You can do things that way, and that has a better chance of showing shape in this world than
Yeah,
voting,
because
no matter who.
everything's ran by money. And at the end of the day, people in positions of power make choices based on what's going to make them the most money. So all you have to do is show stuff is profitable. Why did we have a little moment with like, trans cinema and all these like different sort of like marginalized creators? It was because there was a little blip where they were profitable. Now they're stopped, they're not going to be profitable anymore. So who cares? It's not happening anymore. But you can show your support to those things and people will want to keep seeing them. So like, yeah, no, let's save the theatrical window. I think that's like an achievable goal that like cinephiles
Absolutely.
could put themselves towards. And if we can accomplish that, maybe we'll still have movies in 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah, and maybe
Amen.
don't support Glicked or whatever that is. What is this new thing of Gladiator and Wicked opening on the same day, and now they're trying to make like it's gonna be like Barbenheimer too.
Oh.
You can
Hey, go
go.
do it. I don't care. I mean, like, if that's what it takes to market, I mean, I would say go see each of those movies like at a matinee, like a week or two after they come out. I think that's the
Yeah,
way to.
exactly.
Yeah.
Well said. All right. Well, we solved this one. We can put this one
Yeah, we
away.
saved cinema, guys. Holy shit. Like in an hour, we were
Absolutely.
able to save cinema. This is great.
We've saved
Wow.
cinema. We've saved Sean Baker's fascist reputation. We love you, Sean. We're just kidding. That's stupid. So I'm glad you stay out of this.
I think he only listens to the Franco episodes, which
I am. But in
is
case you didn't, we'll title this one "The Franco Files: The Ultimate."
fine.
But yeah, Louise, as always, thanks for coming, and
Thank you guys for inviting me on. I was kind of itching to do this because I've been, full of like rage the last little while because making movies sucks and the industry's terrible. So it's fun to get on here and vent and say lots of stuff that honestly, the best thing was the last time I came on the podcast, I had people who were like sending me dossiers of like shit I had said. about how like problematic it was, and being like, hey, my friend like is trying to cancel you, and they said you said all this stuff on a podcast. And I'm like, fuck yeah, okay, yeah. Let's keep doing it. So now we can keep going. I'm building up the like the whole like fucking case file. Like when the industry's used me up, I will have more than enough out there for everyone to go, oh yeah, no, I didn't like her the whole time, actually. Right.
Those bleeps are gonna be retroactively removed.
Well, yeah, we'll come up with like a code word for, yeah, you know, when it's time to blow it all up. Just one word, you text us, and then
Hollywood Babylon 3. There we go, baby. We got it.
A sleeper cell activation word, and then over.
Well, anytime you're itching to come on and talk some shit, you just text us.
Certainly will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always. All right. We'll
see you guys at the movies soon, because you're all going to go to more movies and listen to us. Obviously, come to our shows too. That's sick. But also do what we said with new movies.
I have nothing new to plug right now, but I will say everyone should go buy my friends Willow and Caden's book, Corpses, Fools, and Monsters: The Trans Image on Film. I hope they're not like perturbed by me promoting their thing after saying all the crazy shit I said today, but like, go buy that book. It's really good. They say very nice things about me, which is great, because most people who talk about me in print nowadays call me some form of despicable, which is pretty great.
Well, you know, we might do a little show with them. So I think it's all, we're all loved. We're all in the same boat and family.
Truly, just to double stamp, that book is fucking great. I was very excited reading it. And that's not something I say about new film books ever.
So. Yeah. And if you're in Chicago, maybe you'll get a chance to experience this on the big screen.
Yep. Yay. We'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Until Here comes out.
Oh my god, please have me on for that. We gotta do it. Oh, yeah,
we'll coordinate screenings so we all watch it at the same time in our different places, and then we just record immediately after. Straight
amazing.
Into it.
Yeah. No Michaels, we can't say Mike one Michael Snow comparison. That is the challenge.
But Michael Snow is the only single setup durational filmmaker in history. So who else could you talk about?
I'm gonna keep making the Benning references. What I'm gonna do?
Make those. Yeah, you're gonna make Benning. I'm gonna make those Gabe Klinger references.
We all gotta pick one durational cinema one take like sort of person, and we'll all do it separately, and that will be our guy through the whole time.
That's a great idea.
Have a mascot. Okay.
I'm going full Bulgur Tourism, and I'm going to do the thing where they do two screen images from like both. I'm going to show that fucking Monk and the Tsai Ling Mang movies, and then there's going to be Tom Hanks opening a Christmas present. Think about it.